Welcome back, everybody, to another podcast, All About Nothing podcast. I am your host, Barrett. I want to welcome a couple coworkers in on the program this evening. I have my brother from another mother, Seward Suarez. He is my mother has officially adopted him, and it makes it really uncomfortable because when she talks about Seward, she also mentions how great of a son he is, and how hard of a worker he is, and it makes me feel so little. And then he does what he can to make me feel even worse, because he'll remind me, oh, you didn't help your brother carry that bass drum. You didn't do all of these things. This, you know, we were in Greenville, and he made me feel like I was worthless. So I invited him on the show.
Not on purpose.
Seward is under the belief that he is of Native American descent. And in my opinion, I have decided that if it's Native American, then it's clearly not one of the Mohicans. It's not one of the Navajo. It's not one of the Apache. Clearly, it's one of the last Peruvians. Because, I mean, haven't they all disappeared?
No, you gotta say it right. The Incans.
The Incans? The Incans. Okay, fine.
They migrated all in South America. They were all in South America and all those other places, too.
Well, you keep saying you're Native American, but you're Native South American?
I guess. I don't know. The DNA came back as 46% Native American. I don't know what that entails.
That's fine. That's good enough for me. And I want to go ahead and also introduce another one of our coworkers. My brother, who is a brother, is Keith Cooper. Welcome, Keith.
Thanks for having me on the show.
No, appreciate it. Glad you could join us. You're doing what you have to at the Walmart right now, right?
Yes, I am. I'm walking around the Walmart right now. It's a little crowded. It's a diverse group of people. Some people are doing some things they shouldn't be doing, but I don't want to go into detail with that right now.
But you're in Walmart. That's usual. That's typical in Walmart.
Well, One of the things I wanted to do this evening was having you guys on was, so at work we typically have conversations that we probably shouldn't, but one of the things that we always wanted to do was a podcast between another coworker and Keith called Black Guy, White Guy. And we did not get an opportunity to do that, but one of our friends, Rob, he has extremely, I can't even say conservative opinions. He just has very Republican opinions. Because they don't strike me as conservative. It's just whatever rhetoric he's heard or he's read about, he wants to discuss. So but we wanted to do a podcast where it was just the two of them going back and forth. So what I wanted to do this evening was have Keith and Seward on, because one of the things that we've discussed at work that is brought us a lot of humor is the discussion about white privilege. We have a particular coworker who does not believe that white privilege exists. I am white. I absolutely believe that white privilege exists. And Keith and Seward are both of minority groups. I imagine that I could probably just let them talk and you could figure out which ones. Keith had some things that he wanted to say about white privilege, and I really just want to let you take it, and then Seward and I will join in and comment. But you were going to say something earlier today that I don't think you got to.
I define white privilege as basically what the words say. It is in the United States, and I would assume worldwide, it is looked upon as white is the way to go. They're the leaders. I met an individual one time. He said, if it's not white, it's not right. And I know it sounds silly. I never forgot that. They always say that, like me as an African-American person, if I'm speaking, they call it the King's English, I'm trying to sound white. Have you ever heard that before, Barrett?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know.
You're trying to sound white as if being white is the epitome of speaking correctly.
Sure, sure.
And the reason I say with white privilege when I go to a store, I don't know, Barrett, if you can chime in and let me know. If I go to a I go in the mall and I'm shopping, it happens 100% of the time.
Let me interrupt you.
There's always some person that works there following me, asking me, do I need help?
Is Belk?
I don't see the same individual falling behind a white person that's walking around in the store.
Sure.
But they're always asking me as if I need help, as if I'm going to steal something.
Sure, sure. Is
that to me is white privilege.
Is Belk typically a whiter than? Oh.
Yes, I'm just using Belk as an example. That's one of the many stories that happens. That happens at every store, and I'm wondering, do I look like I'm a criminal?
What about Publix?
People assume that I'm going to steal something. I give you another example. I was reading this article that talked about the discrepancy when it comes to the number of African-American children who get in trouble in preschool. The number of African-American children in preschool, they showed, was about 16%. But 50% of the children that get suspended or get in trouble are African-American kids in school.
I believe it.
Excuse me, go ahead.
I was just saying, I believe that. I agree that is probably a fairly valid statistic. Fairly valid statistic. Well, it's like, you know,
with statistics. Go ahead, Barrett.
I was just going to say, you know, it's like the, I don't remember what we were talking about earlier today, but I remember that we were talking about something and what came to mind was the, you know, the Chris Rock joke from 20 years ago where he said, you know, black people aren't even in that, you know, there aren't that many black people even in the country. It's like 10% of the population in the United States is black, mm-hmm. and they're only in like 13 different cities, you know. So how do they consider all this problem with just 10% of the population? You know, doesn't make sense.
I look at another thing. If you look at the news, I give you the difference in privilege. In the news, it is inevitable when they put an African-American, a black person on the news, they interview them, they find the most ignorant black person you could find.
Sure.
You watch the news.
That is true.
You will see that the most ignorant black person, when they show a white person, if they are ignorant, they're going to be in a trailer park.
Well, exactly.
They're going to show a white person in a trailer park.
Exactly.
You find the most ignorant person. When I think of white privilege, I think of the people that are pulled over by police. If Rob was here, Rob even told me that he would love to see me get pulled over. Rob was going 25 miles per hour over the speed limit. He's pulled over by a cop. Cop gives him a warning. The first thing Rob said is, Keith, if you did that, he probably would have shot you. That is white privilege.
Sir, I'm just going for my license. No. Put the gun away. No. I promise. It's just my license. It's in my pocket. It's my back pocket. Sir, I would not be sitting on a gun. I promise. Yeah, no, I understand.
I went to the store this down. What is that? Palmetto State Armory?
Uh-huh.
I don't care if they hear this. I went there to purchase a weapon. I am not a criminal. I stand at the counter for 15 minutes looking. No one ever helps me. White male stands behind me. They look over me and say, hey, excuse me, sir. They're looking past me. Dude, do you need help? That's white privilege.
Well, they didn't want to ask you because they didn't want you to feel like you were stealing something. So they didn't want to ask you if you need help.
He wasn't like following Belk around the store. That same guy was at Belk watching you get followed around.
Guns. I guess that's when I was going to shoot the place up or rob it or something.
Right.
I was going to buy a gun to rob the place.
Well, you mentioned something a minute ago, how I can have political conversations with, and again, anyone that's listened to the show knows that I am extremely progressive. I consider myself to be a liberal when it comes to social ideas and things like that. And I don't like our president. I find him to be absurd and absolutely difficult for me to look at him with any sense of respect right now because he is just foolish. And I have friends that outright just think he is the greatest president we've ever had. And it's, you know, 6 months in and literally you can count on no fingers anything that he's done yet. But regardless, so we have a couple individuals at work that are both sort of the same mindset that Rob is, in the sense that they are Republican They, you know, or they consider themselves conservative to the point where they defend everything that happens with the president. And for some reason, I seem to be able to have conversations with them where we can walk away laughing sometimes, most of the time. But man, Keith, if you were to get involved in a conversation with them, they would, I guarantee you, the both of them would either one, shut you down, or two, walk away without saying anything because they're afraid that, I don't know that they're afraid, but they would try and say something that would offend you. You know, I don't want to say their names. I really want to, but I don't want to.
I know. No, don't say their name.
But,
well, you know, there is one. I mean, there is one, that one individual that you keep on mentioning. I mean, I there's been times, and many, many times, especially with upper management being around, where they basically say a racial comment, uh-huh. A racial comment, no matter what ethnic background they are, they basically blab it out and they don't get talked to or in trouble or anything like that. But if one of us, or, you know, Keith or myself, will say something like that, I'm sure
you'd at least get
in the office.
Yeah, you'd at least get looked at. Right, right, right. Yeah.
Right.
For the life of me, I don't understand how I almost did it. I don't understand how one of them can stand up almost all the time away from his desk and have these conversations with management, you know, a stone's throw away. They can hear him the whole time, but there's nothing that's ever said, or at least I don't know that it's ever said, but it's not ever stopped
right,
him.
Right.
And you know, right. It's, man, some of those conversations get really awkward too.
And you know, and it's like, you know, and,
life of you.
And you know what? And that's the other thing, you know, not to bring it up, right, but that same person also, you know, being that they're white, you know, they also have, you know, they talk about their marriage, how great their marriage is, mm-hmm. and this is not, but yet the wife doesn't get home till 1-2 o'clock in the morning from going to work out, being out with a friend at Walmart shopping, but nothing, doesn't come home with any shopping bags.
And Seward, do you feel as though that is more of a Native American thing, that his wife is getting away with that, when it should just be Native American women that do it?
I don't know about that, but you know, remember, Native American, we live in a teepee, so that they don't shop at Walmart. You know, we shop the land.
I'll say the reason, when Barrett, back to what you were saying, for the life of you, you don't say how this individual stands up and say certain things and nothing happens, because it's white privilege.
Yeah.
The individual you're talking about, I have many examples of white privilege. My son, when he was in school, he was about 2 or 3 years ago, he was in, like, second, third grade, one of them. Fourth grade. And there was an individual at school, white kid, who told my son, since my son was in front of him in line, that he was going to bring a knife to school the next day and cut his neck off.
What? It
sounds silly, but yeah, the kid said that.
That's frightening.
So the principal calls me and tells me, hey, I want to let you know about the situation. And he said, we took care of it. So I asked the principal, what did you do to the kid? He said, well, you know, for privacy, I can't tell you what I did to it. I can't tell you. So I imagine the kid wouldn't be at school at least the next day. The kid was at school the next day. I talked to my son. I called the principal back and told the principal, if it was a black child, you'd have kicked him out of school.
Yeah.
There's no way you would let this kid stay at school, threaten to bring a knife to school. That's white privilege. And a lot of people don't see it. A lot of people don't see it because Barrett, you're on the unusual side. You're like the first
that is
white
a fact.
Male I've ran into who said that white privilege exists. A lot of them deny it. They tell me that I'm crazy or I just met bad situations. White privilege exists.
I absolutely believe that white privilege exists because, you know, I the sheer fact that I don't believe that I have ever been racially profiled for being white. You know,
me living in Florida, being a Latin descent,
You know, I didn't really grow up. I grew up in, I mean, going to school or going to high school, our school was very segregated.
Sure.
I mean, we had the blacks with the blacks, the Hispanics with the Hispanics, the white surfers with the white surfers, and the skinheads with the skinheads. I mean, it was very segregated. And they had, and there was a lot of, you know, fights broken out. I mean, there was a lot of issues in the school that I went to, the high school I went to. But when it went to a newer school, because they were in transition from a really old school that was wide open, no fence, no nothing. I mean, there was riots in school during class all the time. To when we went to the new school, it kind of died out. I mean, a lot of people started, you know, I don't know what they did differently, but a lot of, you know, this segregation started disappearing. Mm-hmm. But you know, growing up, you know, I also, there's been times that I also been profiled and just like Keith, you know, walking in the store, depending on what I'm wearing, they'll either follow me, ask me if I need any help constantly. It's like, no, I'm okay. I'm just looking. I'll get profiled. But if I go out dressed really well, they don't follow me. They don't even ask me. I mean, I walk in the door and they'll say, hey, you need help? You need to find something? No, I'm okay. I'm just looking. And that's it. I don't see them again.
I totally,
but it depends on how I'm dressed.
I totally expected, you know, you to say every time I go to Home Depot, I wind up walking in the door and a manager comes up and approaches me and says, no, you're going to want to wait outside in the corner. They'll pick you up at 9. I was totally waiting for that.
But I totally understand where Keith is coming from with that aspect. But at the same time, you know, being a devil's advocate, you know, you also got to understand, you know, a lot of black African Americans bring a lot of bad attention as well, too. You know, being that the you know, like the gangs and stuff like that they end up going into placing and shooting people up and doing this, doing that, you know. And it's not just the African American. You got also Hispanic gangs that are doing the same thing too. But you know, back in the day, tattoo wasn't a big issue, wasn't a big thing. Nowadays, you know, if you have a tattoo, they automatically ping you as a, when once you have a lot of tattoos, oh, he must be in a gang or something like that. You know. But
now,
you know,
I want to say one thing to what you just said. One thing that's rarely if ever talked about, and white males, and I'm gonna say about white males, I may be wrong, and Barry, you feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. The people that have killed the most people in the United States, I think it's white males.
I think that is correct.
Well, I actually back up. I'll actually say something on top of that.
Go ahead.
The mass murderers and
right.
If you look at the history of murderers and are white males.
And just to point out, domestic terrorists, for the most part, domestic terrorists in this country. You know, the Constitution says, you know, or that they defend the Constitution from both foreign and domestic terrorists, most of the time, if there is a domestic terrorist, someone born and bred in the United States, they typically turn out to be some white dude that or group that doesn't want to pay taxes. I mean, you have the Bundys out west because they didn't want to pay the taxes on the federal land for their cattle to be they didn't want to have to pay for taxes where their federal on federal land where their cows were grazing. You have you're exactly right. I mean, the Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, white. The guys that blew up the Oklahoma City Federal Building, two white guys. I mean,
yeah.
When
you also have like the serial killers, a lot of 90% of the serial killers are all white. I mean, you're looking at Charles Manson,
right?
White, you know. I can't think of the Ripper.
Ted
what's
Bundy.
His name? Ted Bundy, yeah, white. You know, it's which is
the reason,
correct.
The reason I was saying that is because I was, see, you know, what's, you know, what Seward was saying about how people perceive black people based upon what other people do. But if that was the case, then it seems like if more people, like, for example, if more white males are killing other people, or are not saying they're going out every day killing someone, but if most of the, I might look at the Indians, how the land were taken from the Indians, they were taken by white males.
Mm-hmm.
Then
by force.
By force. And think about people, I don't go out and look at every white male as, man, that white male is trying to, he's going to do something. But if you look at the high percentage of people who are killed by mass shootings are white males, shouldn't I be afraid of white males?
I would.
But I'm not. I mean, shouldn't I assume that every white male, if I'm going to use the same mindset that some people use towards black people, I'm a black person, I should be afraid of every white male, or be very, you know, very mindful of every white male, but I'm not.
Yeah, of course. I completely agree.
I have to reverse that, because, man, I came across one white male going to the store. Man, I thought that guy was going to kill me right there in line just to pay because.
That was at the gas station,
because,
right?
Because, I don't know, it was weird. It was weird. He just kept on staring me down. I'm like, what the heck? Do I have something in my back? I mean, it was really weird. It was really, really weird that I told my wife, and by the way, my wife is white.
Very white.
But, you know, yeah, I told her, I said, listen, I'm not ever going back to that store ever again. Just because, you know, the guy, you know, I guess he was in line in front of me, and he kept on looking behind like I was doing something. I wasn't doing anything. And then finally, he paid something, but his girlfriend was still shopping, and he went around, but he went so close to me like he was going to hit me or something and staring me down.
Yeah.
Like I did something wrong, and I'm just there trying to get two drinks for my son and myself, because he was going to soccer practice. And
yeah.
And I'm just standing sideways because I don't, you know, I want to keep an eye on him as well, because I don't know why he's staring me down, but I'm not looking at him. I just can see him in the corner of my peripheral vision. I can see him staring at me.
Yeah, no, I remember you telling me about that.
After that incident,
oh, man.
Do you feel like every white male is going to attack you?
No, not at all. But this, you know, but once again, it could have been me stereotyping. It could have been, you know, he was like the white trash looking, you know, living in a trailer park kind of guy, mm-hmm. skinny guy, but he was, you know, he was wearing pants that were lower, that, you know, that just fell off of him. They didn't even fit him. And, you know, so, you know, I you know, I looked, and I mean, when I seen him looking at me like that, I was like, well, what the heck is his problem? You know? And I don't know if maybe he thought, you know, he thought I was going to take his girlfriend or something, but his girlfriend wasn't good looking at all. But, you know,
you're going a whole different direction.
Oh, man, I don't know.
First of all,
I just wanted to buy my drinks and get out of there.
I want to issue a warning to all girlfriends that may be within the vicinity of Seward. I want to issue a warning to their boyfriends. He is the modern day Rico Suave, and
no.
You have to beware,
because it's not modern day Rico Suave. It's modern day Don Juan. Get it right.
Go ahead, Keith.
Barrett, I want to piggyback off something that you said, and I want to go back to white privilege. I want to make another comment about it. Who was the individuals? Wasn't it the, I'm going to say the Bundys. It was the individuals who didn't want to, you know, they wanted to graze their land.
Mm-hmm.
What was their names?
It was Bundy.
Bundy.
Yeah.
You remember that those individuals took over some wildlife or some station, and they...
Yes, the people, they...
30 of them got in there.
Yeah, so what happened was, somewhere, I want to say it was either, I think it was Washington or Oregon. The same people that supported, I don't know that it was necessarily the Bundys, but it may have been family members of the Bundys. But yeah, they basically took over a wildlife research facility, a building, essentially, on federal land. And I can't remember.
They did it on federal land, and they made threats.
Right.
They made threats too. If somebody came there, they were going to kill someone, and several different things.
And in the end, there was a shootout.
For a long time.
Yeah. Well, and what's funny is, like, it was an abandoned building. The federal government actually, I mean, the Park Service didn't care about it that much, so they were just going to wait them out. But mm-hmm. I think at one point they started the group was collecting firearms, which is almost immediately is an issue because, you know, as a group, you can't begin to collect firearms without it raising some sort of red flags, and it did. And in the end, I think if I remember correctly, I believe there was a shootout, wasn't there? They were trying to escape.
What happened was there was an individual that came out, and the police told. I mean, I'm not sure police what whoever was there.
Right.
They had warned that individual to stay back.
Right.
He made some kind of. That's why he was killed.
Okay.
And the reason I'm going this direction is because all those individuals there, they made threats. They said if someone came there, they were going to shoot them. They was willing to die for what they believed in.
Right.
No one ever did anything to them. If that was black individuals, I give you, when Black Lives Matter were, those guys were marching. I've seen them marching in 2016 get beaten by police because the police said they felt like they made an aggressive move or they felt uncomfortable. But individuals who had assault rifles, nothing was done. It was, let's wait them out. Let's wait them out. Give them time. Let's wait them out.
Well, and that was... That
to me, is because you're... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, back in the 90s, when the Koresh compound in Waco, Texas, you know, they were going to wait them out. And or, you know, Ruby Ridge, it was one of those situations where it was a religious group that the government didn't want to interfere to the point where anyone was going to get hurt. But you're right. I imagine that if there were, let's say the Black Lives Matter group decided that they were going to all get together at Myrtle.
They would have bombed that place with a nuclear bomb.
Right.
They would have threw a nuclear bomb over there. Killed everybody.
I mean, I can't say for certain that would have happened, but I can admit that there probably would have been a much more aggressive tone taken. But here's the thing. We haven't had that situation happen. And I think that is probably because for some reason white groups, and it's the damnedest thing. I can't figure it out, is because when you see things happen like this, it's almost always some white group. It's always some group of white people that have gotten it in their heads that they are so oppressed.
Have you guys heard the latest on Trump though?
Which one? I mean, what's the latest?
So right before you called me, I was watching the news, and basically Trump now says that they're gonna make it harder for foreigners to get become a citizen here. So one of the things that one of the requirements is that they have to speak English.
Oh Lord!
If they don't speak English, they will not get in.
Well,
so
what? Okay.
So I was like, that's the latest.
So and they have to have. I think they have to be financially. What you said.
And also have to be financially financial stable. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
That's. I don't. I got to be completely honest. I don't understand that move at all. Listen, we're about to run out of time, but I want to have you guys on again. And I think next time I have you guys on, we're gonna do something a little interesting. I am going to give you both the citizenship test. Okay.
Oh.
Two naturally born American. Well, Seward, I'm
born in Jersey.
Yeah. Okay. So two naturally born American citizens. Of minority descent, I'm going to give you both the citizen test. Okay. And it's,
you can go ahead and give me an F now.
I'm going to give you a week or so to study for it.
Pass it. You know, Trump's going to kick you out.
All right, guys, I appreciate you guys joining me tonight, and we're going to get this out on the web, and we're going to see if anybody gives us their opinions. But I really appreciate you guys joining and talking with me tonight, and we'll definitely do it again soon. Again, Keith Cooper and Seward Suarez, two of my coworkers that thank you very much. I thoroughly enjoy having you guys on tonight. Okay, we will do another podcast next week. Thank you everybody for listening. And if you have any comments, just feel free to you can tweet me at Barrett Gruber. Again, this is All About Nothing podcast. Except tonight was about a little bit of something. So we will check you all out next week when you check us out. Tell me.